Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So my guest is Dr. Eddie Fadikoff, and he came from Russia to the United States, eventually made it down to the South, and dealt with some preteen and teenage weight issues himself, and has really dedicated his medical career now to not just really the weight loss part of it, but keeping it off and that healthier lifestyle. Dr. Fadikoff, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Mike. Glad to be here.
So I went on your website. My listeners, I want you guys to go check them out. It's drfadikoff.com. It's drfatakhov.com. And the book is there, the Doctor's Clinic 30 program. And you can read a little bit about Dr. Fadikoff. We were just talking about the importance of the question, why am I gaining weight in the first place? What do you think about that question? How important is that, Dr. Fadikoff?
I think it's the most important question, and that's the question I ask when patients come to my office. You know, the important question is, how many meals a day are you eating? And are you eating breakfast? And if that's the answer, that's what I start with. Most of my patients, 90%, if I get them to eat 6 meals a day, eat breakfast, drink water, and good night rest, they have no trouble losing weight. It's just changing habits. A diet is temporary. You know, we diet for reasons, to go to spring break, to get ready for a wedding, you know, to lower our blood pressure. We're on a diabetic diet to get our sugars under control. It's already pre-programmed. It's going to be temporary. It's never lifelong. So if we just build good habits, you know, from as a childhood, and they've done studies on this, when they look at children, and they build good habits because their parents eat healthy, they'll eat healthy the rest of their life. And they'll be healthy. So is it genetics or environmental? Is it the upbringing you're bringing? And it's a little bit of both.
Well, besides this eating pattern, like you call a sumo wrestler, right? It ultimately, it's just pigging out at the end of the day, alcohol added in there, going to bed, not active enough, that type of pattern. Other than that, though, what are some of the other reasons you think we have such a weight issue in this country?
Well, it's overindulgence and the fact that, you know, we're lucky we live in a country like this where food is accessible. Processed foods, refined carbohydrates. I mean, there's a lot of chemicals and stuff like that. And then the high fat content. I mean, they've done studies where, you know, you could either be low fat or low carb, but these sugars, these simple sugars, are basically making us insulin resistant and, you know, preventing fat breakdown. That's the biggest reason. And then you have this high fructose corn syrup, which it only takes one penny to replace with something else, and it gets processed with sugar. Eating some of these meals is no different than eating a Snickers bar. You know, at the end of the day, you think you're eating healthy, but you're not. And it's misleading. You go out to the grocery store, it's a 50 multi-grain bread. All this is white bread with 50 grains in it. It's not 100% whole wheat. So it's just education. I think the public's not educated because there's so much information out there. You don't know what's good and what's not. You have a study that says Mediterranean diet is great, which is a lot of fat and a lot of olive oil. Healthy is different from weight loss. People don't kind of get those. If they're too much of a good thing is a bad thing, you know?
Yeah, you know, so I had Dr. Steven Sinatra on my show once, Dr. Fadikoff, and, you know, he's one of the premier cardiologists in the country, in my opinion. And, you know, he links a lot of our issue back to the 80s where fat became the culprit in all this. So we got rid of the fat, but we added all the sugar. And now we have worse heart disease. We have more overweight people. And we're finally starting to get it that those simple sugars, those simple carbs, those are the things that we need to control. Let's talk about this losing weight without feeling hungry. Okay, because that is an issue, right? People start dieting, you start cutting calories a little bit, even on your program. Let's say they're eating their 6 meals, their smaller meals, but now an hour or 2 hours later, they got all this hunger. How do we help them control that?
Well, in terms of the hunger surge, I mean, there's multiple reasons. You have the ghrelin, you have the leptin, you have all these hormone levels. But what I tell my patients to do is you don't want to restrict. The word diet fails. You know, they did a study in psychology a couple months ago, 83%. We use the word diet, 83% of the patients fail. So it's more of a program and a lifestyle. And the way I designed the book is slim phase and a maintenance phase and an education phase. So you swim to get to the goal where you're at, and then you maintain for the rest of life with addition of exercise and good eating habits. So the way you do that is eating more to lose more. So I provide plenty of food options. I mean, I want to be honest, nobody really likes the diet, you know. Nobody wants to be on a diet. Nobody really cares for diet. People just want to get results, and easiest way to do that. And it's not about restriction. I never want to restrict. I always want them to eat more, to lose more. So a perfect example, I can give you one of my patients. He says, I want chips. you know, my doctor said I can't have chips. Well, as soon as you say no, she's going to get chips whether you tell her she can have it or not.
So I said, right.
Where you eat chips? She said, in my living room when I watch TV. I said, how far is the kitchen? She's like, it's a walk. I said, put the chips in the kitchen. Each time there's a commercial break on your favorite show, grab one chip. She went and come back and sit down. How many times do you think she's going to get up for her favorite show to get up chips? Now, I never said no. As soon as you say no, like right now, I say you can't have a cookie. You didn't want a cookie until I mentioned it, but the whole day you were thinking, I want a cookie just because I said no. We can't take a no. It's almost like, you know, you want Chick-fil-A on Sundays, but you can't have it on Sundays. It's just psychologically built in. So I never say no to any of my patients. I said, if you're going to have your worst meals, have it in breakfast. You have the whole day to burn it. If you're going to eat bad, have a breakfast. But I gave food tables of plenty of foods and vegetables and stuff like that they can have, unlimited foods. And my plan is based on the exchange system. It's been around for 7 years. It's proven. That's why Weight Watchers has been so successful, because it doesn't restrict people on what they can and cannot eat.
So in some of your experience, what are some of the common, you know, roadblocks that people face? You know, so they're eating more, they're eating less, they're being more active, they're having some success. At that point, what are some of the things you like to warn people to watch out for so that they don't backtrack on their weight loss plan?
So you get this plateau. So the first month they're motivated, they're seeing results, and then they just kind of get depressed. They're like, I'm not losing as much weight, I'm not doing this, and I pretty much said once you get to that point, it might be a 4 week or 6 week plateau. Then we ramp it up. We change something around your diet. We tweak things around, because that's when people don't get motivated. Like, I'm working hard, I'm eating the same now, I'm not losing any more weight. That's when we encourage them to eat better, add more exercise. And, you know, sometimes people exercise and gain muscle, and when they look on the scale, it's like, well, I'm the same weight, I'm not losing weight, but I always make them do waist circumference, arm circumference, and the inches keep dropping. So it's just the training and counseling. And I think coming to the doctor's office or nutritionist or personal trainer creates accountability. You know, people are going to be like, I have to go to my doctor. I'll make sure my blood pressure is good. I have to go to my doctor, make sure I'm not gaining weight. So if you have that personal accountability, it reinforces it.
Yeah, I have a little theory. Let me run this by you, Dr. Fadikoff. See what you think about this. This is just my own little theory, my own little experience helping people lose weight. Everybody has certain flavors and textures that they enjoy. And if you eliminate those, if you take those away, no matter what diet program you're on, if you take away those flavors and textures that people enjoy, that's really going to make the cheating kick in, and it's going to make it hard. How important do you think it is to recognize the things you like and try to figure out healthy alternatives so you get those same flavors and same textures? Am I onto something there?
You are onto something. So people love bacon, right? They just love bacon, even if you say turkey bacon. If you fry eggplant, deep fried eggplant, it tastes just like bacon. And it's more of the textures, like you're saying. It's just as important because there's people here from different ethnicities. Some are Indian, some are from the Caribbean, some are Russian like myself. So if you go to a doctor or dietitian and say you can only have this, but it's not culturally diverse, or doesn't have the same texture you used to, you're going to cheat. So I think you're on to something. That's very important. And that's why, you know, having that fried eggplant taste like bacon, be as crisp, is just as important mentally.
So I had a guest on, too, that talked about the importance of maybe having, you know, one meal on occasion where you do cheat a little bit. And again, not overdoing it, not overeating, but, you know, maybe you have that bacon once in a while. How important do you think it is to allow people to cheat once in a while? Is that going to be helpful in them sticking with that diet?
Now, that's very interesting. So I was kind of on both sides about this, but they just came out with an interesting study, and they said having, and this was the Journal of Obesity, having one fat meal will alter your metabolism for muscle storage and your muscle building up to 5 days after, up to 2 weeks to get it back into the cycle. So I think having that one meal can set you back a long time, and all the hard work paid off. So until you get to the goal weight where you're happy at the weight, I wouldn't cheat.
You wouldn't cheat. Maybe a little bit down the line when you're just trying to maintain that cheat meal is okay. His name is Dr. Eddie Fadikoff. You can check him out at drfadikoff.com. And I appreciate you coming on. Great job. Continue your great work. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.